If you're a wife, do you find that your husband needs you to deflate his ego sometimes? Here's Shanti Feldhahn.
The male ego is the most fragile thing on the planet. And what's happening when you're puncturing him in that way, it's not that he started out with this inflated sense of self and has somehow been brought down to ground level. What's happening in his heart is that he started below ground level and he's just dug a tunnel somewhere, as opposed to we have a responsibility to build him up and lift him up, and just the same way that we want him to do that with us in other areas of our life.
This is Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss for Tuesday, July 2nd. One of our all-time most popular Revive Our Hearts series is called For Women Only. That's also the name of a book by Shanti Feldhahn, who just released the 10-year anniversary edition of that book. When the series aired on Revive Our Hearts a few years ago, a man made a comment on the listener blog at reviveourhearts.com. He said he'd been to many marriage conferences, seen all kinds of videos and books on marriage, and then he said this: "Please hear me when I say that I have heard nothing more powerful and hopeful to me than today's message. Each day when I wake and venture into the world, I can handle almost anything that life throws at me, even to the point of being diagnosed with cancer 8 years ago. But my wife's criticism, lack of support, lack of trust, and lack of respect for me leaves me utterly and totally broken inside, filled with deep, deep pain." Does that reflect your husband's heart? Think about that as we return to that original series For Women Only.
Our guests this week are Barbara Rainey, the wife of Dennis Rainey, the co-founder of Family Life Today. And Barbara, thank you for being here and adding to this discussion some of the wisdom and understanding that God has given you on this matter of understanding men and responding to them in a godly way.
Well, I'm delighted to be here, Nancy.
And we're joined by Shanti Feldhahn, who is an author, and more important than that, she's a wife, she's a mom, she loves the Lord, and she's written a terrific book called For Women Only, What You Need to Know About the Inner Lives of Men. And as a group of women, we've been sitting here talking about what men think, what they feel, what they need, and I thought it would be good if we could ask a man to comment on this subject, because they really know what they think. And so we picked up the phone and called Shanti, your husband, Jeff. Jeff, you're in Atlanta, and thank you so much for joining us here. You're a brave man to join these women on Revive Our Hearts.
My pleasure, Nancy.
And Shanti's been bragging on you, Jeff. You are her hero. She thinks the world of you, and I love to hear a wife talk about her husband that way. But we want to ask you, as a man, help us as women understand what we need to understand. What are some of the things, you know, you live with a woman who's written this book about men. What are some of the things that help you as a man really feel respected by Shanti? And how does she live this out in a way that's a blessing to you?
Okay, I think I can do that. And I really can just confirm that she really does live it out. She has...
Maybe now I do.
All the stuff that she's saying in there, she has put into practice. Over the last several years, I've been involved with a startup company trying to get an idea and a product to the marketplace. And it's been challenging on a lot of different levels. Now, I've thought it numerous times that, look, I just, this may be what I feel that God has called me to do. This may be what I'm really passionate about, but I could go and get a job back at a big law firm and do that and provide for the family in that way, so we don't have to question whether or not every month we're going to be able to pay the mortgage. So, you know, like a guy, I've thought a lot about this, went and talked to Shanti, and she just said, absolutely not. This is what we feel God wants us to do. And this is what you're passionate about. Look, sweetheart, I waited tables when I was in college, and I was pretty good at it. I love writing, but I can go wait tables if that's what we need to do so that you can keep doing what you feel you're supposed to do. I mean, that right there, I have never doubted trying to keep going with what I feel that I'm supposed to do in life, because I know that she's behind me with it. And she was willing to sacrifice what she really loves to do, and that's right, so that we could provide for our family.
So she's really been a cheerleader for you.
Oh, total.
Have you always felt that way? Or
you know, I think with a lot of things in life, we all grow into learning about ourselves and learning about one another. And Shanti, you know, just as hopefully I've grown in learning about her, she's grown in learning how to respond, you know, to various things for me. And like a lot of guys, you know, I come up with an idea. And it could be on anything from doing, you know, yard work or landscaping or business-related things. Mm-hmm. And I spend a lot of time thinking about it. I don't necessarily share with Shanti that I've spent a lot of time thinking about this idea. You know, I'll say, you know, hey, I've got an idea on this. In the past, she may have gone, well, why don't you do it this way? Or why don't we do this?
And what does that do to a guy?
Well, in my case, it was like throwing a bucket of cold water on the excitement of the idea.
Which she certainly didn't mean to do.
No, of course not. Yeah. She was, you know, she's just trying to be helpful. And she's a critical thinker. She's smart. She has opinions and she shares them. But what we've done, and she's just learned my particular style.
Mm-hmm.
And what she does now is she'll say, that's interesting. Would you like me to discuss that more further in, you know, at some point? And she creates kind of the safe environment for me that I can go, yeah. And then I'm less defensive. I'm less thinking that she's going to just shoot down my idea. She's going to try to add value and bring something that I hadn't thought about to it. And it really is that sense that she just knows that, you know, I need to be, you know, felt that what I've come up with is valuable. And she always has. Mm-hmm. She's always felt that.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes in communicating her thoughts, you know, I'm looking for opportunities for someone to say, you know, he's not that smart. He's not that bright. He's not whatever it is because of various things.
And there are plenty of people in the world who will tell you you're not that bright.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, and what I have found, honestly, is that so many guys go through life with that sort of secret insecurity,
mm-hmm.
that this issue of how we as women communicate with them is such an enormous part of how they think we feel about them, when we may absolutely respect our husbands or trust our husbands and have no idea that we're going through our day communicating the opposite.
So, Jeff, when you feel that Shanti does trust you, that she respects you, when she affirms you, tell us again what that does for a man.
Oh, it's one of those things that when I know that, I have the confidence in dealing with all sorts of other people that might not know me as well. And I feel that, you know what? I'm smart enough. I really am. I can compete in the marketplace.
And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but does it motivate you as a man to treat your wife in a different way than you might otherwise?
Oh, yeah, it totally does. I have seen in her life that she sees a particularly not a great response to some discussion that we've had. And she goes, how can I learn to do this better or differently? Approaches differently. And when you see that she is doing that, you know, of course, I want to reciprocate. I want to do the same.
Well, that's God's ways. Men love their wives, wives respect their husbands, and each one feeds on the other, and together they become more one and a greater reflection to the world of Christ's relationship with his church, which is what it's all about. Jeff, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy workday to help us women out. We need to listen to men and to learn from guys like you about how we can be more effective at ministering grace to your lives. And thank you for being a part of this discussion with us. Thank you for being Shanti's husband and giving her the freedom to write this book and letting her be here with us in Little Rock this week to talk about this subject.
Most welcome, Nancy. My pleasure.
Well, Barbara, we've been listening to Shanti's husband, Jeff, and they've been married about 10 years, and God has been so gracious to teach them some of these things along the way. You've been married 30-some years now, and I hate to call you this because you look so young, but you are an older woman than many of us, and God mm-hmm. has given you a lot of wisdom and perspective that younger wives really need to listen to. As you listen to Jeff and Shanti talking here, what's going through your mind?
In the conversation, one of you said something about asking permission to share your opinion. And that's something that I learned early in our marriage. And I think it's something that we as women just don't think to do very often with our men. When Dennis and I were first married, I remember listening to him speak, and he would ask me afterwards, how did I do? And I would always tell him that he did a good job and that, you know, find something that was positive that I could compliment him. But I remember saying, do you want me to really tell you what I think? Do you want constructive criticism? What kinds of things do you want to hear from me? And when he was ready to hear that, then I could say, you know, I think you need to correct this or you need to change that. But by asking permission to offer constructive criticism, then he gives you the right to say that, and he invites that into his life, rather than, as women, sometimes I think we have the tendency to just want to dump our opinions and our thoughts. And it's a practice I've followed through the years. Still, when Dennis speaks, and this is 30 years later, and he'll ask me what I think, I'll ask him, well, when you're ready, I've got some thoughts for you that might make it better next time. And when he's ready, then he'll ask me. So I think it's a wise woman who will practice giving her advice, because her husband really does want her help, but she just needs to be careful that her help is at the appropriate time and in the appropriate way and with a good spirit.
That's such a good point, Barbara, because one of the things that I learned as I was writing the book was sort of a surprise. Jeff and I were watching this old movie called The Natural with Robert mm-hmm. Redford, wonderful baseball movie. Mm-hmm. And there's a scene where Jeff almost jumped out of his seat and said, that's it. That's exactly how every man needs his wife to treat her husband. And it's the scene where Robert Redford has been in this slump, even though he's the natural at baseball, and he just feels like he just can't do anything right. Everything is going wrong. And finally, one day, his old flame comes to the game, and just she can't help herself. She just stands up in the mm-hmm. stands, and he just sort of feels that something has changed, and he hits this grand slam, and it reignites his game. And Jeff and several other men, now that we've shared this illustration, have said, that is exactly it. She stood up and supported him. Period. She didn't try to get down in the batter's box and say, oh, let me show you how to do it. Let me do it for you. She let him do it. And guys feel like what their wives are doing a lot of the time is trying to do it for them, implying that they can't do it for themselves. Here,
even
let me get
in
down
little
the...
things.
Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
Right. Finding directions or what to stop and ask.
Exactly. And yeah. the guy wants to do it for himself because we women, again, we don't get that what we're conveying purely is a lack of trust.
And the whole issue is, do we support our husbands or not? And that's what respect boils down to. Are we supporting our husbands in the role that God has given them in our marriages? And it says clearly in Scripture that the husband is the head of the home and the wife is to support him. And I think that wives have such great power in our husbands'
oh, yeah.
lives, and we so underestimate the power that we have to help them become all that God intended them to be when we support them.
The power for good or for bad.
That's right.
Unfortunately.
If a man's
right.
wife believes in him, he thinks he can conquer the world.
That's
and
right.
he's motivated to be all the man God made him to be. But we also have received some emails mm-hmm. from men here at our ministry saying, my wife has effectively torn me to shreds. I've retreated to my workplace. I've
yeah.
retreated into the internet, in some cases into pornography, things that are not justifiable at all. But I remember one man just quoting those verses from Proverbs about it's better to live in the corner of a roof or in a desert
yeah.
than with mm-hmm. a quarrelsome wife who tears you down.
That's so true.
I often hear from women about this who are like, well, you know, but I just feel that my husband doesn't love me. I'm not feeling love from him, you know, day in, day out. And often I say, you know what? I bet more than a 50% chance the reason is that he is not feeling respect from you.
Mm-hmm.
And that if that you, without realizing it or spending all day every day tearing him down, he is not going to feel built up to be that loving husband you most want. Whereas if you say, okay, I'm going to make the choice. I'm going to watch what I say. My eyes are opened to this. I'm going to spend the time building him up, showing him, demonstrating that I trust and respect him. I bet you anything that things will dramatically turn around in your home.
Shanti, we've been talking about some of the revelations that you realized as you were doing this survey, and it's kind of related to the respect issue. Tell us what that second revelation is.
It's basically that even though our men go through their day looking very confident, they actually secretly inside walk around with this secret insecurity, basically feeling, I really am not sure what I'm doing, and I hope nobody finds out. And we are usually quite surprised to discover this. And once we understand it, we suddenly understand the really radical importance of affirming our men.
Yeah, I look at a lot of men and they seem to be really confident. Yeah. They're leaders and they're gifted, they're talented. But you're saying that you found that many, many men who appear to be really confident have this kind of internal insecurity.
It's not just that they are internally insecure, which they are. There's a companion to that, too, which is that men go through their day feeling like they are always being watched and judged, and that people are going to find out that they really don't know what they're doing. And as one man told me, that feeling doesn't just stop when I walk through the door at home. And as a matter of fact, it's even worse sometimes at home, this feeling of, I really don't know how to be a good husband or a good dad. And so that's even more where our role is very important to build them up.
One man that you interviewed shared a story with you about how he had spent years under a wrong impression of being judged based on something that happened to him when he was a young person.
It was really interesting. He said, you know, this is a silly story, but it illustrates this insecurity perfectly. He said, when I was in college, I drove a transit bus part-time to earn money. And, you know, if nobody was on board, I'd kind of drive a little too fast. And one day I came hurtling around the corner, and there's an elderly man standing at the bus stop, and he's shaking his head at me. And he said, I thought he was disapproving of my driving, and it irritated me. And he said, 20 years later, I'm living in New York City, and I'm standing at a bus stop, and a bus approaches, and I shake my head at the driver to tell him, no, I don't need your particular route. And suddenly it hits me that this is what that elderly man had been doing all those years ago, just telling me, no, I don't need your route. But I had built up this thing in my head that he had examined my performance and found me wanting. And the man that I was interviewing said, you know, this is a silly example, but it's what every man does. And it's funny, I originally thought, okay, you know, it's an interesting story. And I read it to another man the next day. And before I even finished reading it, he was saying, yes, yes, that's exactly what I feel all day long.
Now, Barbara, you're married to a godly man, a competent man. He's a leader of a major Christian organization. Yet, even men like that need to know that their wife thinks that they're doing a good job. They need that affirmation that they get from their wife.
Well, and they don't just need it once. They need it over and over again. They need it on a daily basis.
So what happens if you think at some point he's not doing a good job? How do you communicate that in a way that doesn't tear him down?
Well, I think we can communicate something that we think he may need to work on in a positive way. We can communicate it in a respectful way. So much of it goes back to what is our attitude. The attitude of my heart is going to determine what comes out of my mouth. And the tone of voice that I use, the way that I say it.
So the timing.
There are a lot of things that play into that. And if my attitude is one of respect and one of really caring for him, you know, I need to have compassion on the load that God has given him to carry rather than being critical. So if I approach him with compassion and with an attitude that knows that he needs respect, then the words that come out of my mouth are going to communicate that. Mm-hmm. And I may ask for a time when I could express how I'm feeling, or I may say, I've got some thoughts. Would you like to hear them? And he may say no. So I'd say, okay, that's fine. But usually he'll come back around because he really wants to know what I think.
And of course, so much of this is a matter of focus. If you get your eyes focused on the negative qualities, if that's what you're talking about, that's what you're pointing out, you start to see everything through those glasses.
Absolutely.
And that's why we've been giving this 30-day challenge, which we've done a number of times on Revive Our Hearts. Here's the challenge in case you haven't heard it. For the next 30 days, you cannot say anything negative about your husband, not to him, not to anyone else. And every day for the next 30 days, I want you to say something that you appreciate or admire about your husband. Say it to him and say it to someone else about him. And I think that little exercise will show you how important this thing of affirmation is to your husband. And it'll change your focus. Mm-hmm. So you're not just concentrating on the things that need to be fixed, the things that need to be changed. Listen, we're all this way. We flourish. We blossom under encouragement. And if someone's always pointing out our flaws, our negative points, what does it do to us? I remember hearing somebody say to me once that I had the spiritual gift of deflation. And that was not a compliment. That's not a spiritual gift you want to have. It's not a gift at all. What happens, Shanti, Barbara, in a marriage? What does it do to a man when his wife, the person that he most wants and needs affirmation from, what happens when instead she punctures his balloon, when she deflates him?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I actually interviewed, when I was interviewing one man about this, and this is what he said, which I thought was perfect. He said, sometimes I think that women feel that he's got such an inflated ego, mm-hmm. you know, he needs to be mm-hmm. taken down a peg. And he said, no way. The male ego is the most fragile thing on the planet. It's not that he started out with this inflated sense of self and has somehow been brought down to ground level. What's happening in his heart is that he started below ground level and he's just dug a tunnel somewhere, mm-hmm. as opposed to we have a responsibility to build him up and lift him up, and just the same way that we want him to do that with us and other areas of our life.
I mean, if our husband does have an ego that's overinflated, or if he is thinking too highly of himself, it's really God's business to knock him down a peg. It's not really our responsibility. And so we're saying that we know more than God does and exercise our authority and yeah. act like God in his life.
Well, and it's also the thing that to me was such a surprise is that somewhere around 85% of men actually don't feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they don't.
They feel like they've started below ground level, and it's secret. It's just in their heart. So most of the women out there listening, their husband is not in that situation
That's
at
right.
all.
That's right.
Shanti, you talk about creating a safety zone in your home for your husband. What does that mean?
Well, it's basically recognizing this, having our eyes open to this, and being a safe place where he can feel like he can share his struggles and where we're not going to jump all over them. And instead, we will do everything possible to affirm him, because when men go out there into the world and they feel like they're fighting this lonely fight, and they need, as one man said, I feel like I go out every day into the boxing ring and I fight the good fight and I'm under the glare of the lights and it's really lonely and I get beat up. When I come home, I want my wife to be there for me in the corner. I don't want her to be beating me up in my corner.
How about you? Does your husband come home to encouragement or to more rounds of fighting? Shanti Feldhahn's been talking to Barbara Rainey and Nancy Lee DeMoss about a wife's role as an encourager. One of our listeners has been learning about the power of encouragement. She took the 30-day challenge Nancy Lee DeMoss explained a few minutes ago to refrain from criticizing your husband every day for 30 days and instead to say something to encourage him each day during the same time period. And Nancy, I've heard you say that hardly a week goes by when we don't hear from women whose lives have been changed by this challenge.
That's right, Leslie, and I love reading those emails. Here's one example from a woman in Louisiana. She wrote, I'm only on day 7, but already my husband has been extra sweet and has taken me on a sudden trip and has planned another trip for next week. She said, I can't imagine what further changes and realizations God will bless me with in the next 23 days. Now, I can't guarantee that if you take this challenge, your husband will take you on a surprise trip. But I can guarantee that you will be changed by this challenge. And I know that's true because over the years, we've heard from, I think, thousands of women who've written to share with us what a huge difference it has made in their lives. And now our team has created a booklet full of helpful suggestions for how to make the most of this challenge. It's called 30 Days of Encouraging Your Husband. Each day, this booklet will spur you on with a quote from a woman who's taken the challenge. And then you'll read a practical suggestion on how to show respect to your husband. If you're not sure how to come up with 30 ways to encourage your husband, this booklet is just what you need.
Thanks, Nancy. So when you donate any amount to Revive Our Hearts this week, we'll send you this booklet. And you'll also receive the newly updated For Women Only by our guest, Shanti Feldhahn. 10 years after releasing For Women Only, Shanti's done some new research and added new material to the book. Just ask for these two resources when you call with your donation of any amount. Again, we'll be glad to send you Shanti's book, For Women Only, and the booklet, 30 Days of Encouraging Your Husband. Give us a call at 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or you can donate online at reviveourhearts.com. Well, does your husband really know that you'll love him for richer or for poorer? Shanti Feldhahn and Barbara Rainey will challenge us with that question when we return tomorrow here on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.